Well, we're going to be discussing the fourth biblical conviction necessary for parenting. And we've discussed last month, we discussed because of our children's sinful heart. We need to understand that our children are in a position of great need, our children. And today we're going to see that as parents, we are in a position of great need. We are also in a position of great need. So last month it was we're in a position of great need because of our children's hearts. We learn that our children are in need, that they have a sinful nature. They need to be born again. Our children need to understand their need for a Savior, and I'm sorry to say this, but they're foolish. The Bible says that children are foolish. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Now, I'm not saying you guys are dumb or anything like that. What foolish means in the Bible is you just lack wisdom. And it's okay to be a fool when you're 8 or whatever age you might be. But our children are in a position of great need. And as our scripture reading demonstrates from Romans chapter 7, though we may be born again, we are in still a position of great need. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. We must rely on God in prayer. We must rely on regular scripture reading because there is a war going on inside of each and every believer's heart. And that's the war of the regenerate, new, born-again heart against the sinful flesh, which will not be perfected until Christ returns. So we are in a position of great need, parents, because of our hearts. Because of our hearts. The war in us between the spirit and the flesh leaves us vulnerable, and we must rely on God every single day. And we need to realize something in our parenting or about our parenting. And I don't know if many of us think of it this way. I am now. But like marriage, God uses parenting for our individual sanctification, for our individual sanctification. When parenting brings frustrations, which rarely happens, when parenting tempts us to sin, tempts us to be angry or short at our kids, or tempts us to be passive, whatever it might be, remember to consider that parenting is a kind of spiritual discipline. It's there ordained by God for your good, for the development of your character, for your holiness, for you to become more Christ-like over time. Like Christ teaches you must deny yourself. Anybody that's going to be the greatest, if you want to be the greatest among all your peers and whoever you're around, you must become the least, Jesus says. In your home, with your spouse and your children, you have every single day to practice becoming the least of your family, for sacrificing yourself to serve each other and to love one another. So when parenting brings us frustration to sin, just remember, it's like marriage. It's meant for our sanctification. It's a type of personal spiritual discipline. And God uses marriage and parenthood to form us into the people that he needs us to be, into being more like Christ. So our parenting is not outside of progressive sanctification. God is a proficient multitasker. He is at work in our lives through our children. God, in his sovereign wisdom, has specifically arranged for you to be the parent of the particular children that you have at the particular time that you have them. Remember, nothing is random with God. God has a purpose for all things. He works all things for the good of those who love him. Sanctification, as a reminder, is part of salvation. And sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. Remember, when you're born again, when someone comes to faith, when someone repents of their sin and believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, some things happen. You are regenerate, what Jesus calls being born again. Then you are sanctified and you are glorified. And sanctification is, so when you're regenerate, you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again, you repent of your sin, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and changes you. And when you respond in faith, you're justified before God. That means you're declared righteous. He no longer sees your sin. You have a clean slate before the judge. And then after that, you are sanctified, meaning you're made more holy over time as you cooperate with God and his work in your heart and in obedience to his word. And then eventually we will be glorified like Christ was glorified, having been risen from the dead. We will be glorified with the glorified Christ for all of eternity. So our parenting is within that framework of sanctification, It involves increasing in patience, serving others self-sacrificially. These are all fruit of the Spirit. Patience, self-sacrificial love, putting others before yourself. It involves watching our language and living holy lives and living sexually pure lives. These are all fruits of the Spirit that demonstrate that you have accepted Jesus Christ with faith and repentance, and the Holy Spirit's in you producing these fruits. And God uses our children to instill such things into us, to bring out the fruit of the Spirit. No matter how frustrating or impatient you might find yourself being, no matter how much it's time consuming being a parent, but God's using it. Now, many times our struggle with parenting reveals sin issues in our lives, and that's part of sanctification. Has anybody ever thought that your parenting might show your sin? Our parenting might show our sin, our sinful natures, places that we have not given up to God, places that we have refused to repent in our personal lives, will come out under the pressure of being a parent, under the pressure of being a spouse. Certain periods of parenting can be particularly hard because they tend to bring out the worst in us. Now look, Doug, you have one son, he's only 6 months old. What are you talking about? You don't know all this stuff. I've gotten frustrated already with Jonah. Sometimes I'm just looking at him. I'm sitting there. I'm like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Like, because he's getting in my way of relaxing or something. You know, our sins can be seemingly small, but they're coming from a rooted place of, I know I'm commanded to love you and to put myself, like deny myself to serve you and raise you. And I need to give you patience and love, but I don't want to right now. And he's only 6 months old. It starts early. But parenting brings out the sin that we have in our hearts. And Paul Tripp, in Age of Opportunity, he writes this. The problems that our teenagers bring home are an intrusion on our desires and plans for our lives. We tend to get angry, not because they are messing up their own lives, but because they are messing up ours. We get captivated by our own plan. We tend to lose sight of God's. We begin to think of children, of our children, as agents for our happiness, rather than remembering that we are called to be God's agents of growth and godliness for them. Now, like I did a couple Sundays ago, with anybody in here remember the case study in the car? The kid, the sister calls the front seat, and the brother just sin, 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 and it gets the whole family because he will have that front seat, and that is his idol. And anybody that gets in his way, he's willing to lie or fight or scratch or drive wild because that's his current idol. In the same way, parents will reveal sin when parenting. So let's say this as a case study. You're a parent. You had a long day at work. You've been working. You've been working two jobs. The weather's bad. You don't like your boss. He's bothering you. You've been up early and you're home late and it's a long day. And all you want to do is have Netflix and pajama time. You're driving on your way home from work like, yep, just clocked out. Things are looking good. I'm going to go home. I'm going to slip in my pajamas. I'm going to turn on Reba on Netflix and I'm going to zone out. I'm going to watch something that requires no intellectual thought that makes me laugh sometimes. And I'm going to zone out and relax from the day. When you get home, maybe your kid hasn't done their chores. Maybe your kid has broken a house rule. Maybe They forgot about a project that's due tomorrow at school, and they need to go out right now and get cardboard and poster boards and crayons and all that stuff, and they need it, and they totally forgot, and they just mentioned it to you, and it's 7 p.m. the night before they have this massive project due. Or maybe they have a list of never-ending questions for you when you get into the door. There's a question about this and a question about that, and why this and why that, and what's that and why what's this? You coming home wiped from work. You coming home wanting to do one thing on the couch. You react with aggravation. You react with anger. You yell at your kids. Perhaps you tear them down. Perhaps you complain about them and your day at work to your spouse in front of your kids, or at least where they can hear you doing it. Why do you do this? Why would any of us do this? It may very well be because they got in the way of your desires. They got in the way of your desires. It's pajama and TV time after all. Instead of biblically parenting them with patience and teaching, you respond with anger, perhaps sinning against them, perhaps exacerbating them. You potentially sin against your kids or act sinfully by responding in anger because they got in the way of you getting your desires. You're angry, you're aggravated because you have elevated, even if perhaps only temporarily, something above your biblical duty and command to parent. You have an idol, and they got in the way of it. And instead of living up to being the parent that the Bible commands us to be, you give out. Because they, your children, got in your way. You could also go in the opposite direction. Perhaps the same scenario happens, but instead of parenting, you just ignore them. And you're passive. And you turn on the TV. And you put on their pajamas. And you give in to them whatever it is they want for them to be quiet. You ignore them, though they need you. At least in their eyes, they need you. So here's an application. Stop whenever this happens and do a sober assessment. Ask yourself, why am I angry? Why am I aggravated? Why am I frustrated? Why am I ignoring my kids? Do I have misplaced desires? What sins are being revealed in my parenting? Is my parenting bringing out the sin of anger, the sin of unbelief, self-pity, impatience, self-righteousness, even the fear of man? You ever think that the fear of man could be applied to children, to your kids? You're afraid of your kids. You're afraid of the commitment that they will need if you keep on doing whatever it is that they need. You're afraid that maybe they won't like you. They won't be your friend, something like that. Maybe you're resigned. Maybe you have resignation. Maybe you have bitterness. Maybe you have passivity. Perhaps you're angry or frustrated at your kids, not for your kids' sake, because their behavior potentially makes you look bad. If you act like this, I'm going to look like a bad mother. That's not love for your kids. That's love for yourself. You care more about your reputation than parenting them with patience and love and self-sacrifice. You care about your own face at the expense of biblically parenting them. Now, though all parents have had and will have these moments, though we're likely to sin in these moments, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Take heart and cooperate with God's sanctification in you with each and every small opportunity. Perhaps there will be a time when you need to apologize to your kids for your behavior and redirect them to Christ through your humble example. Have you ever thought about that as a reality? Do we have a category in our mind that I have sinned against my child and I do need to apologize to them? That's an excellent discipleship opportunity right there. They will remember that forever. They'll remember how you handle your sins. Because look, I'll sin in front of Jonah and of my kids. We have all sinned in front of our children because we're sinners. People will see us do some sins. But how you treat that sin in front of your children will be what they remember. if you sin and you just brush it off like no one's perfect and you just continue? Or do you sin and then say, you know what, that is a sin. I have sinned against you and I'm sorry. They will learn from that. They will learn repentance from that. They will learn righteousness from that. They will learn the power of the gospel to change you from doing such things. Now, whenever sins are being revealed in our parenting, just let us remember, and for this, Christ died. And for this, Christ died. Every sin that we do, Christ has already died for if you belong to him. So just remember, he's faithful to forgive. He will simply forgive you when you come to him in repentance and faith over and over again every single day. Listen, repentance and faith, brothers and sisters, it's not a vaccine. You don't repent and believe once. It's an ongoing thing that happens in our lives. There's something to repent for. There's something, and there's belief to be fostered and to continue in all of the time. God stands ready to forgive all things because of Christ's work on our behalf. So do not succumb to despair when you have failures in parenting or you sin in your parenting, because Christ has died for that. And he's willing to forgive, and he has forgiven, and he's made you new, and you can continue to sin less and less in reliance on him. So, we are in a position of great need because of our children's hearts. We are in a position of great need because of our own hearts. And we are in a position of great need in our parenting because of cultural pressure. We live in a culture that regularly and sometimes very strenuously says, don't impose, don't restrict, don't cause discomfort, don't deprive, don't squelch, don't discipline. Our culture is after our children for itself. I don't know if you've seen that. I don't know if you know that, but it is. Our culture is after our children for itself. And our culture, the world, pursues our children by disempowering parents and overwhelming parents. And I encourage all of us to remain steadfast in our parenting, standing on the word, and helping one another parent our kids, because we all need one another. I already figured out on hour six, Grace and I can't raise Jonah alone. I'm not going to say that Hillary Clinton, it takes a village, but it does take more people to help you and give you advice and give you a day off and help you learn, especially from parents who have been doing it for a long time, how to parent. And this is what J.C. Ryle says in The Duties of Parents. And if you haven't read this book, I highly recommend it. The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. He says, to my eyes, a parent always yielding and a child always having its own way are a most painful sight. Painful because I see God's appointed order of things inverted and turned upside down. Painful because I feel sure the consequence to that child's character in the end will be self-will, pride, and self-conceit. He further says, and be not afraid, above all, that such a plan of training will make your child unhappy. I warn you against this delusion. Depend on it. There is no surer road to unhappiness than always having your way. To have our wills checked and denied is a blessing thing for us. It makes us value enjoyments when they come. To be indulged perpetually is the way to be made selfish. And selfish people and spoiled children, believe me, are seldom happy. Our culture will say, give everything to your children. Our culture will say, deprive them of nothing. Our culture will say, fill their schedules with every sport and every extracurricular and every language and every class and every opportunity that's possibly imaginable. Get them an Xbox. Get them a tablet. Get them a phone. Get them everything. Get them everything. Do not deprive. Do not squelch. That leads to a meaningless life and a health crisis, a mental health crisis that we're seeing in our country today. And the Bible says what? Discipline your children. Provide for them want. Provide for them delayed gratification. provide for them what they need, and point them ultimately all the time, continuously, to their need for a Savior, for them to recognize their sinful nature and their need for a Savior. Parents, listen, today our children literally have everything, or they're able to. Look, we got Amazon. We got YouTube. We've got smartphones. At one click, you can literally have anything within 2 days. At least materially. Our culture tells us not to impose on our children, to make the world accommodate to them instead of our children accommodating to the world, to give them every single thing they want or need. And if you don't, you don't care about them, you're denying them opportunity, you are denying them joy. We fill our children's schedules with everything, every sport, every extracurricular. We cave to their desires. And as a country, and this is backed up by polling, we literally have never been more unhappy. We've never had more mental health issues, and we've never had more non-believers in God. We've never had more people succumbing to depression and anxiety due to meaninglessness. They turn on the TV and they say, nothing exploded and created everything into meaningless dust. And you deserve everything. And they hear that all the time. All the time. They hear it from school. They hear it from teachers. They hear it from the internet. They hear it from the friends. They hear it from social media. They hear it from scientists and philosophers and even some preachers. But the Bible has a different picture for how we raise our kids. So may we live countercultural lives, biblically parenting our children. I encourage you to stand firm in the Word of God. Check and deny your children's culturally fueled wills. Take the time to teach them patiently of their need for a Savior and their need for self-discipline. And doing so will provide them with want. Doing so will provide them with time to think and reflect. Doing so will give them the gift of boredom. I'm bored, Mom. You're that bored, huh? I got stuff for you to do. Laundry, dishes, scooping poop. Never tell your mom you're bored. That's my first application to the kids. Never tell your mom that you are bored, because she'll fill that boredom. She'll fill it with stuff to do. But maybe we live countercultural lives, biblically parenting our children. Doing so will provide them with want, with wisdom, with time to reflect, with the gift of boredom. And these checks on their wills will cause them to enjoy and appreciate the blessings they do have. It will build patience in them, because they don't get everything that they want immediately. The things that you love the most and appreciate the most are the things you waited the longest for, and they are the things that you have sacrificed the longest for and paid the most for. Children, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Here's the main application for our parenting talks here, okay? Our parenting sermons. Your parents are God's gift to you. They're God's gift to you. God commands you, children, to honor your parents. He has given them authority over you. They know what's best for you, and they love you more than anyone on earth. Take that to the bank. You want to listen to the people who love you more than anyone on earth. Your parents are the ones who love you more than anyone on earth. They will make decisions for your life that seem unfair. Okay? Especially when you compare yourself to your peers. Just like God does things in our lives and puts us through struggles in our lives, and we wonder, God, why? Why am I here in this hospital like this? Why did I lose my loved one here and now? Why do I struggle? Why am I broke? Why am I going through these struggles? Adults have those with God, and you will have those moments with your parents. Sometimes you'll think, that's not fair. Why would you do that or not let me do that? That's so stupid. It doesn't make sense. Listen, your parents are smarter than you. They're wiser than you. They've had more life experience than you. And sometimes from your perspective, things might seem unfair and silly and dumb, and it's not what you want. But just like God does that to all of us, your parents for a time are going to do that to you. So simply honor them and obey them. And as the Bible says, it will go well for you. And for all of us here, whether it's in our parenting, whether it's being parented, or if it's in anything else, any other relationship, any other standing, their situation in life, there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. If you want to parent your children biblically, you must be in and know the Word of God, and you must seek Him in prayer daily. And you must repent and believe the gospel. You can't biblically parent your children if you yourself do not believe the Bible, if you yourself have not given your life to Christ. You must rely on Him for strength and wisdom, and you can't do that outside of repentance and faith, because it takes the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, sanctifying us over the years of our lives to biblically parent. If you want to honor your parents, children, if you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to have a life of meaning, if you want to mature into biblical manhood and womanhood, you can't do that if you don't turn from your sin, believe in Christ, and receive the promise Holy Spirit to sanctify you either. Beyond these things, this is the real heart of the matter. If you want to avoid hell, to avoid the eternal death that we have all earned for ourselves before a holy God and receive eternal life, you can't do that either unless you repent and believe the gospel and receive the promised Holy Spirit, who will justify you, sanctify you, and glorify you. Our children's eternal life is our goal in parenting, and each of our eternal lives was the goal of Christ going to the cross. So may we start this year, or recommit this year, or readjust our parenting and our grandparenting and our nieces and nephewing and our whatever relationships you have to influence for the Lord and for a parental capacity. May we this year, since it's being so early in the year, commit ourselves first to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never repented of your sin and believed in Jesus Christ, I beg you as a minister of the gospel to do that this morning and be reconciled to God today. And if you have done that, dedicate your life in new ways, as we are all as a church, dedicated to increased spiritual growth this year through prayer, scripture reading, higher attendance, and relying on God in new ways. Do that for your parenting, do that for your spouse, do that for your children, and do that for your parents. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You've sent Jesus Christ into the world, that You've given us the Bible to let us know our standing before You, how to be reconciled before You, and how repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ literally makes us, through Your grace, a new person, and that that produces fruit, and that fruit enables us to live holy lives, being more and more like Christ, and then that bleeds into our marriages, it bleeds into our parenting, it bleeds into being parented if we are children. We ask that You convict us to be and dedicated to increased spiritual growth in all of these relationships, particularly in our relationship between You and us. In Jesus' name, amen.